Hi everybody, so this is Linda Cloak from Synergy Networking Events. Welcome to Channel Radio this afternoon, 2 p.m. And I've got three guests here with me. Well, my co-host is Tom Revely of ITMS.
Hello.
Hello, Tom. So Tom's helped a few times, but he's been really busy in schools just recently, haven't you?
Yeah, running around with those crazy children.
Okay, and we'll talk to you about, so lots of news things I know are going on, so we'll talk to you about that. And we've also got Matt White of M&A Digital.
Hiya.
So, first time on the show?
First time on the show, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And then we've got Lindsay Moore of HR Consulting.
Hiya.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, it's Lindsay's first time as well. So, first off, I want to sort of talk to Tom about what's been going on in your world, if you don't mind, Tom.
Yeah, it's fine.
I know it's been really, really busy out there, and it's to do with a school that you went into.
Yeah, so it was a school trust. I was asked to pop in, have a chat with the central team, just to have a look over their current setup, because they were unsure if everything was running as it should be. Went in, had a little meeting with them, found a few problems, and let them know that to go any further, I need to see more. So they asked their incumbent IT company to give me access, and the response was, we're ending the contract.
Wow.
Which was fun.
Can a company do that? If they're in contract with a school, can they just end it then?
That would be a legal question. That's not for me to answer.
Oh, okay.
I suppose they're... If the school was to turn around and say, we want to come out of it, yeah, there's probably clauses in there. The other way around, there's probably something written in the contract to say they can do it. Mm. So then it was suddenly we got access, found a whole can of worms. And then I was head down in three schools for a couple of months, getting them where they should be.
Wow. Okay.
Before we onboarded a new member of staff to take that on for us.
Because I should imagine it's a big problem if schools get hacked or anything like that, because they've got all the data. You know, I mean, I'd be terrified of being hacked. That's why I have Tom, my IT, obviously. It quite frightens me, to be honest, and I need to not think about it.
Yeah, especially when you're obviously looking at schools, you're not just thinking of sort of office-wise, where it's all adults playing with the machines. You've got 500-600 children that also have access to some bits and pieces within the system. If it's not set up properly, it can be a little bit dangerous, yeah.
Mm, scary stuff.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But they're all good now. They're nice and safe.
And also, you've brought on someone new, haven't you?
We have, yes. We've got a new member of staff. Finn started with us in June. He's come from a previous school trust. Uh-huh. So good school experience. He's now predominantly looking after the school trust we've onboarded, so spending 3 days with them a week and then 2 days in the office. Although at the moment, it's a bit hit and miss because summer holidays.
Yes.
It's a bit more fluid at the moment. Mm. He's come on board and he's doing really well. You'll have potentially seen him on our socials recently. He had his little intro video. And then, he'll start to dot around a bit more.
I was saying your socials are great because I'd like to get, you know, all of the members engaging with each other more. You imagine mm-hmm. if all 172 members all engage with each other's content. Because I know that, you know, when I was with BNI, I was always trying to get just the people in the group to, mm-hmm. you know, chapter rather, to do stuff. And it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah, some people are sort of reticent to kind of comment or chat on sort of social posts, and I kind of get it. It feels a bit pointless sometimes when you're just agreeing or just liking or just one word answers. But if you can have a little bit of a chat over it, see if you can add something to a post, it's always beneficial then.
Well, we always used to say when we did the training, ask questions. Mm. If you ask a question, then it's brilliant because it gives you the opportunity then to respond.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's about having a conversation, isn't it?
It is. And generally speaking, there aren't any stupid questions. If you've thought of it, someone else will have thought of it as well.
Mm. Okay. Thank you, Tom. So Tom from IT Manager Services, my co-host today. So I'm going to go over to Matt, next victim.
Yeah, literally. Feels like that, the way you're looking at me.
Okay, so Matt helps us with our SEO and our website, and it's been amazing. So, Matt, tell everyone what you've been up to.
Linda just needs a moment.
Yeah. No, literally. So we get involved with the SEO side of the Synergy site, and we're also helping moving it forward, adding functionality, and lots of things to keep it updated and engaging. It's myself and my wife, Amy, who run the company, and we offer SEO, web design, all of the usual stuff. If it's online, it's creative, we get involved with it generally.
So, I mean, we were really impressed because, you know, we had the site for, was it 6 months before you got involved?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 months.
And then you became involved, and suddenly within 3 months we had 650 visits a month.
Which doesn't always happen.
People found you.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I mean, yeah. You know, I'd been doing socials right from the start. I know that Carl Cowell gave me a challenge, or gave everyone on LinkedIn a challenge, actually. He said, right, for the month of December, so we started the business in October, and he said to me, right, I want you to do a video, you know, talking about your business for 31 days.
I remember you doing that.
So I sort of got in front of my Christmas tree, made sure it was all ready, had a load of outfits on the sofa, quickly got changed, did one video, got changed, did another video.
Carnage everywhere except on camera, yeah?
I know, it was really good fun. But then I must admit, there's things I've slowed down and I need to sort of get back on it again. I mean, but you can see when you're doing the SEO how much is coming from social media, can't you?
We can see, yeah. Everyone can see if they've got analytics properly installed on their website, which was something you didn't have to begin with. Just the reason your site was so good after that short space of time was because just putting the basics in place.
Right.
There was a lot of things missing and a few bits that just weren't quite there. So it's definitely worth checking your own sites to make sure you have analytics, because if you can't track it, you can't monitor it, and you don't know where you are.
And it was good because you came and did a talk at the trade networking event that we do on the first Friday of every month. And yes, everyone was thrilled with what you said about there, the advice you gave in regards to SEO.
I mean, the irony is it was sort of SEO parallel, because it was the Google My Business profile, which is another free thing which shouldn't be overlooked, because that's perfect for local SEO and your map listings.
Yeah, so it's worth putting photographs on there, isn't it?
Photographs, case studies, updates, opening hours, contact details, just the basics is enough.
Yeah, you can't put video on there, can you?
I don't think so.
No.
Never tried to do that.
I don't think you can on Google.
Oh, but you were trying that when you get home now, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to have a look.
If you can, it's just going to be full of videos now.
Yeah, I mean, that is a potential. Videos are great for social media engagement. People are more likely to watch a video than they are read an article.
As long as it's got subtitles.
And a transcript.
Because people generally watch videos on their phones inside them.
Oh, I see.
So if you haven't got the subtitles, they're just going to scroll past you.
Yeah, you need captions. And if there's not a transcript, then generally, like, the algorithms can't read it.
Okay, so I need to learn how to do that. I think it does it automatically on LinkedIn, doesn't it?
I would say so.
Some platforms do. I'm sure something's coming in that's going to make that a mandatory thing.
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense. If it's providing captions, generally there's a transcript, because it has what's being said there.
Mm. So I think that networking is all about, you know, helping people in any way that we can. And one of the things that I've always said is, if you go in and you just connect somebody on LinkedIn and then you comment on their post, or you do something like that, or even actually it helps if you go and visit the site. So we're going to be having the events on the site, aren't we?
We are indeed.
So the more people who visit the site, the better it is for us, because the higher up it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows trust signals. If somebody's staying on the site for a long time, they're reviewing content on there, they're reading through articles, or they're getting genuine value from it, then that gives it more authority.
Mm.
If someone's finding it, if you display on Google, somebody goes on your site and they disappear after 5-10 seconds, Google sees that as a sign that what they're looking for, they haven't found. So they are less likely to show that again.
Okay, so you want longevity, you want people to go on there and, you know, scout around and...
I mean, SEO is always looked at as a dark art, but generally, if you have good content that appeals to the right people, you're going to rank well.
Mm, okay, so we were going to announce it tomorrow at the online event, but we're going to announce it today. What's the members area? Why have you done it? Did I ask you to?
I mean, of course. So the members area is something you asked us to do.
Okay.
And it's something we
love that you remember that.
I mean, of course, I expect nothing less from Linda. But the members area will be a place, because we're all in 10, 15 WhatsApp groups. It's impossible to keep track of what's going on.
Mm.
So having a dedicated members area on the website means you can go on the site, book your events, go into the members area. You can put your social posts on there, ask for recommendations, contact other members for one-to-ones. It will just be a general focal point for everyone to meet and become part of a community, rather than just meeting once a month, or depending on how many meetings you attend.
So can they as well, are we putting it on there where they can ask for a service? Because we have quite a lot of people in the WhatsApp group say, have you got a? Or some people actually, they contact me directly and say, Linda, do you know a?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have a, there's the ability to create your own profiles, which will say who your target customer is, your dream client, recommendations you're looking for. There'll be groups where you can put social posts in, so you can interact with each other and get some traction going. And then there'll be a recommendations or a I'm looking for X, does anyone know someone, can they help me out area. So there'll be multiple aspects to it, and it'll keep all the threads nice and organised as well.
So I'm going to throw something at you now.
Go on then.
So set up a business quite a few years ago, actually, and what it did was it provided the people that I had on there provided a discount to the community. So, you know, you've got things like Checker Trade and all that sort of thing. If we were to say, right, can someone go on there and ask for something, and then we would be able to give it to them from the Synergy Network, would that be a feasible thing to do on the website? Because I've had quite a lot of businesses come to me, and more recently I've had a landowner come to me and ask me for someone provide bookkeeping services. So I've referred someone. He said to me, "Oh, Linda," he said, "you really need to, you know, charge me for this." And I said, "No, I'm not going to charge you." And he said, "No," he said, "you should, because I really value the fact that you're giving me someone that you trust." And that's been the same as other services. So it's not like Checker Trade, but it's because the other thing we're looking at is potentially having all of our people trading standards checked.
That's new.
Yeah, they were thinking about doing that. So, yeah, you're hearing lots of new things today, listeners.
There is a lot of sneak peeks happening here.
I know, and Matt White of M&A Digital is going to solve all my problems.
Bit by bit, maybe. Maybe not all of them.
We might need Lindsay Moore to come in at some stage and help with a bit of HR. What do you think about that, then?
Theoretically, it's something that can be put into place, but how it would actually work would need some thought.
Right, okay.
Because we have the directory on there, which everybody can access.
Yes.
So theoretically, you can send people to the directory, but without the trust signals, the reason people are asking you is because
they trust
you know
your
the people, they trust your opinion. That's, I mean, networking in general isn't about selling to the person sitting next to you. It's a building a relationship, and it's more often than not who they know, and they get familiarity and trust free. Yeah, familiarity breeds trust is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, yeah, and the landowner has said to me that he's got, you know, lots of friends that he will be, you know, putting our way, which is really great. So, you know, when you've got someone saying that to you, you think, oh, you know, there could be something in this. Maybe people need to find us on the website for it. Or, but I'll ask him, obviously, to do a testimonial, and that would go on there, and that would be, you know, that would be in itself, we'll say it, won't it? Because he doesn't particularly go networking himself, so.
Yeah. So is your plan for the members list, I suppose, to be public facing?
The members list is public facing. Yeah, when people fill out their profile, anyone can go on and see our members. So it is public facing already.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that because it's called Kent Business Directory, it's not particularly something that the general public would search per se, or a business. So say a business is looking for help with their HR in a certain department, would they come on to Synergy and look for it? Not necessarily.
Okay. They'd need to know about Synergy first, wouldn't they?
They would, yes, yeah. So,
The members would have to review their own profile, because if they give good content that covers what they offer, then they can piggyback off the authority of the Synergy website to rank for them phrases.
Yes. Yeah, because you do a little bit of SEO for all of our members as well, don't you? That's another one of the benefits.
Yeah, there is. The profiles are optimised to rank. It just depends on the amount of content given.
We had one lady, a nutrition, and her website was found 19 times on our website, wasn't she?
Yeah, there's a few that pop up quite regularly.
Yeah, which is really good. Yeah, I feel quite proud of myself. Yeah. Well, I'm proud of Tom, obviously, of Matt, I mean. Yeah, not
sounds
me.
Sounds like I need to speak to Matt about SEO optimisation.
Yes.
It's a bit above my knowledge.
There's a lot of acronyms as well, especially now with AIO, GEO, AEO. It's all the consonants, all the vowels.
Yes. Old MacDonald will kick in soon, yeah.
It's a fun time. That's for definite.
It's all changing, isn't it, as well, the world?
It's all changing, yes, yeah. But the general fundamentals have always been the same and have never changed. which is good content.
And regularly changing content. So Amy actually writes 3 blogs a month for us, doesn't she?
She does, yes.
And that's, you know, that's, I think, one of the things that's made people come, because it's asking questions about networking. And we tend to get an awful lot of startups come to us. And I think that's, you know, their questions are answered a lot of the time in the blogs that Amy's putting up, aren't they?
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm. The whole thing, the whole way Synergy works is great for startups, because it's a less, not an informal networking, but it's not the scary standing in front of a room trying to explain what you do and forgetting everything as soon as you stand up. The way the format works, tables and your own time, it feels more personal. So it's a lot easier for startups and new businesses to get involved with.
Yeah, it's not that pitch to a room style.
I mean, when I first started networking, them sort of things would be awful, but you get used to it.
Yeah, the more you go. And the thing is, it does help with confidence when you pitch to the room, doesn't it? It helps you with your own confidence when you have to pitch to the room.
Throw you in the deep end.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a good way to start. And I've had a few people say they want speaking opportunities. So, you know, that's why we have speaker opportunities at the trades event, which is absolutely brilliant. But we're looking at, I think, well, Adam's going to be coming on the show and talking about having procurement people attend the networking, which, again, would be really good. So, you know, if we ask for procurement people to come in from BEA or, you know, KCC or some of those places, and they do a little talk, and then you've got people on the tables, it's just those opportunities, because I've always said that Synergy is about creating opportunities. Which is something that makes us different, because most networking groups network within the room, don't they? So I'm trying to bring in those external opportunities in for members. Yeah, I've got big ideas. We're only 2 years in.
Are you writing all these down as she talks about the changes that you need to happen to the site?
Not yet. Linda will change her mind in like a month's time. It will change anyway.
Oh dear, you know me so well. So so tell me about the you know, M&A. How did it start? What, you know, and where are you looking for it to go?
So I started it back in 2023. I've been working for a company for 12 years. I'd reached the point where I'd done everything within the company, and I really enjoyed doing the SEO side of things, and so that's how it started. It was a, well, I can do it for these guys, why can't I do it for anyone else? So I took the risk, kept them as a client. They're still a client now for me, which is great, 3 years later.
Yeah.
So something's obviously working, and then it evolved from there. So SEO led into the web design leads into the branding, into the logos, the helping people out, general typography and colours and fonts and everything else. It all leads into the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you do logo design as well then?
Yeah, we do logo design. We generally get involved. I mean, I said we get involved with a bit of everything.
You did.
If it's online and it's fun, we definitely get involved with it.
So when did Amy come and join you then?
Amy joined last year.
Right.
So it's about a year and a half she's been with me now. The company had grown to the point where it could support both of us, and Amy is much better at that coaching side of things and organising how she wants something to look. So someone will come to Amy with an idea, and she would go, right, okay, well, have you thought about this, this, this? Because getting them outside perspective makes such a big difference.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Watching that two we're speaking to growing, which is really, really interesting. So we are speaking to Tom Revley of IT Manager Services and Matt White of M&A Digital. And of course, we're also speaking to...
Come on, you can do it. You can do it.
She's forgotten my name, hasn't she?
Lindsay Moore of HR Consulting. I had a complete blank. You could see it on my face, couldn't you?
Don't worry about it, Linda. I do it all the time. Us women of a certain age, we walk into a room and forget why we're there.
It's when I call my son Samantha, he gets really annoyed.
I mean, it's a good job it's not live.
Oh, dear. Lindsay Moore of HR. So I'm actually going to come over to you now, Lindsay.
Okay.
So tell us about your business and how did you get started?
So I'm just over 2 years in now, and I had a 10-year career in sales before I went into HR, and then 20 years in HR. I know I don't look old enough, do I, guys? But yeah, 30 years career. And I just got fed up with the office politics. I've always wanted to do my own thing, but my other half is self-employed as well. So whilst the kids were young and at uni, it just wasn't possible for both of us to, you know, to take that financial risk. But yeah, I was working in-house for a loss adjusting company, and the management team had quite a few changes. The MD left, the ops director left, the FD left, and they brought in a new managing director, and I just couldn't see myself working for him, and I just thought, now's the time. So I set up HR Consulting Kent on a bit of a whim, really, just to see whether it would work, and I've had quite a bit of success, so I must be doing something right.
And your first networking was Brian's BBN, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yeah, I mean, I tried all of the different networking just to sort of see which one worked best for me. And actually, the reason I went for Brian's was because of the number of people in the room, which possibly might not be the right decision.
No.
I do realise that now. Mm. So I do many more networking events. I do a lot more networking now. In fact, somebody the other day called me a networking tart.
Oh.
I didn't know whether to take offence at that. But
tell me where you go. What other ones do you do?
So I obviously do the Synergy. Mm. I do a lot of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce ones. I do their Construction Focus. I do FSB. I do the Wheeled Business Group, although I've handed that over to Amanda now. I've taken on a new staff member recently, actually, a couple of months ago. She's based in Ashford. I'm based Maidstone Way. So she does networking now, Ashford, Canterbury, Coast side, and I do anything sort of, you know, Medway Towns and towards London.
We've got no one doing HR in Canterbury or Ashford.
Oh, have you not? So we'll have to have a conversation about that then.
I think you might have a new member to those groups.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's exciting. So you've had a new member of staff as well.
Yeah, so that's three of us now. So I brought my in-house HR administrator with me when I set up my business. So obviously I create all the HR documentation, and she does the admin for me. So if, you know, a client needs a new contract or whatever, she'll use my templates and she will draft that for me. I validate it before it goes out. But she's been on board since the start. And then Amanda, who is, like me, Level 7 qualified FCIPD member, joined me a couple of months ago, and she's doing quite a bit of the delivery for me now. So,
What does FCIDP mean?
So CIPD is the professional HR body, and FCIPD is a fellow. So it means you've got the Level 7 qualification, which is the equivalent of a master's degree, but you've also got the experience. You have to go through an interview process to get that.
And some of the things I've been hearing, you know, since I've been doing Synergy, really, I didn't really hear about it before, is the different things that HR people focus on. So what is your focus, would you say?
So I'm a HR generalist. So that means I know a bit about most HR, but not in depth. And I should imagine the majority of HR consultants do that, but you do have people that specialise, for example, in L&D, comp and bens, the employment law side. So I'm a generalist, and I've worked at director level, and I've, as I say, got sort of 30 years experience. So I know a lot, but what I like to do with companies, rather than see HR as a reactive, because a lot of people come to me when they've got a problem, I prefer to work with companies before they get to that stage. And my target audience is sort of companies that are looking to grow, and because there comes a stage when they outgrow their current infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And that's where my strengths come in, because I've got, you know, the experience to be able to help them with that, help them with their growth challenges.
So what sort of size do you sort of generally see that at?
It really depends. Probably anything from 30, 40, 50 employees.
Okay.
But, you know, there are smaller companies that are really ambitious as well. Mm-hmm. It just depends. And then there are those people who just don't want anything to do with the HR side because it scares them. I can obviously help with that, and I can help with all the employment relations stuff, but my passion is helping those companies grow, making sure they've got the right leadership, the right skills, the right structures to take that next step.
Fair enough.
Mm. And what's your view on, you go to a lot of chamber events.
Yeah.
But chamber and FSB, the two that you mentioned, but they both offer the services that you offer.
They do, but not to the depth that I offer them. They will offer, for example, templates, but really you need to know what you're doing to personalise those templates for the individual businesses. So, that yes, they are a competitor in a way, but I don't know. Do they give advice as well? Do they? Okay.
The only reason I say is because there's a couple of companies now I know that go to them when they have an issue. And
generally find with them, though, it's more ad hoc service. Yes. You haven't got that relationship, that's kind of inside knowledge that you're
and
like,
they don't get, like to have. They don't consoles. Get to know the clients. You know, I know my retained clients. Can't really say intimately, can I? But I know them very well.
We know
well.
What you're
I
trying
get,
to say.
I get to know their employees. Yeah. I get to know what their ambitions are. So I can give them support that, FSB and Invicta Chamber of Commerce probably couldn't.
Right, okay. And the thing is, because they use external bodies, don't they, which presumably is bigger.
Yeah.
Every time you speak personal. To someone, you'd be speaking to a different person who's... Yes. All they've got is some notes to look at.
Exactly. And then often services like that come with some sort of indemnity insurance, so they can only tell you what you should do by the letter of the law, whereas quite often a client wants to know, okay, so what should I do, but what could I do, and what are the risks if I do that? They want the commercial advice, and you won't get that from them or from the likes of Peninsula.
No, so when you start with a company, so say you started with a company that's, I don't know, my size, you know, me, Chris and Laura, and then we went out and we started employing people. We are, in a way, because we've got group leaders, but we're not employing them. So presumably we would still need a contract in place.
Yeah, you'd need to determine their employment status, either employee, worker, or contractor, and then you would need the relevant contract in place, just to protect yourselves and to protect them.
So our group leaders are running one group. That's the plan, that they're going to run one group. They still run their own business, but they run one group.
Right.
That's the plan going forward, and I think there's B&I do it that way. They've got they've got a whole leadership team, haven't they?
You should really have a contract so you know what they're supposed to be doing, and also they know what's expected of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then when you've got a company that's got like a lot of staff, when would you say that it's important for them to take on somebody who can provide them with all the essentials that they need when they've got, I don't know, 10 staff?
So what do you mean by take on, for them to employ somebody?
Or take an external HR person to come in as and when, or someone that they, presumably you have where they can pay monthly?
Yeah.
Does that depend on the number of staff they've got?
It does to a certain extent, yeah. I mean, we've got different rates for different sizes of company, but it's, and also for different, you know, some companies are quite resource hungry. You know, if it's an environment where they've got a lot of employment relations issues, then they wouldn't be able to go on a standard retainer because they would be using, you know, too many hours of time. So the retainers are loosely based on the hourly rate that we would charge for ad hoc work, although it's discounted because that's the incentive to come on a retainer. I can't remember the question you asked now. I'm going off on a tangent, aren't I?
When should they start to come to someone like you?
They could come to somebody like me as soon as they take on their first member of staff, because they'll need a contract of employment. I mean, they could, like you said, go to FSB to get a contract. But if they want somebody to, sort of hold their hand, really, they're probably better off coming to an independent, because, like you said, they would be speaking to the same person every time. That person gets to know their business. If you're talking to FSB or Invicta Chamber of Commerce, you're going to get somebody different on the end of the phone every time, and they might not know your business.
No, that's right. And I should imagine there's quite a turnover of people that are dealing with any inquiries coming through that channel.
Oh, yeah, they'll be large sort of call centre style.
Yeah.
And they probably won't be level 7 qualified.
No.
So they will know the basics, but they probably won't know all the nuances. And there's been a lot of change in employment law recently with the Employment Rights Act. And it's even difficult for people working in it day to day to keep up. I'm not saying that people in call centres wouldn't know, but if I didn't work in HR myself and I wanted HR support, I would probably rather go with somebody who's got, 30 years plus experience. But
And what things do people tend to specialise in? So you have got some HR people that specialise in employment law, don't you? I think that's where Sandra is, isn't she? She's more employment law.
I don't know her.
I think Sam
personally.
Bennett is
employment law.
Yeah, I think Sam's more
employment law. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And I know that Hazel, she specialises in other areas as well. She's more going more down the training route, I think.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, isn't it? For inclusion.
Yeah.
Which is a new thing that's come out, all this inclusion stuff, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's so many changes to legislation. I mean, the scariest one is the unfair dismissal, the reduction from 2 years to 6 months. I mean, I get what the government were trying to do by bringing that in. They're trying to sort of redress the power balance between the employee and the employer. But I think, personally, it's gone a bit too far the other way. It's deterring companies from employing people. You know, they're frightened because they think, what if I get it wrong?
I mean, I've been in businesses when I was with my husband. We had 250 staff, and it was such a challenge. And we never had an HR person.
Wow.
How?
Wow.
I don't know.
Someone must have been kind of fulfilling that role, even if it was unofficially.
Well, it's probably me.
That's not slightly scary.
No, but you're not sure.
Yeah, I mean, we had 250 men or whatever it was. They're driving about in these vans all the time. We used to train them in health and safety and New Roads and Street Works Act and all of that. So we had trainers on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have. I did the wages. We didn't have an HR person.
Wow.
So that we would have been talking about mid 1980s to early 1990s.
Yeah, I mean, the employment law has got a lot stricter over more recent years.
You wouldn't get away with that now.
No. I mean, amazing. The majority of people companies take on in-house HR from about 50 employees. That's usually a HR administrator, maybe somebody who started their qualification journey. Mm-hmm. But 50 is the sort of rough rule of thumb.
Oh, right, okay.
And then they get them doing all the HR admin, issuing the contracts and the offer letters, onboarding the staff, that sort of thing. Responsible for overseeing the training, because obviously there's a lot of training that's mandatory depending on what sector you're working in.
Yeah, and with all the rules changing all the time, presumably you've got to send that person on training, haven't you, to make sure they keep up to date with everything.
Yeah.
So where do you go for your training?
So I am actually the chair of the Kent CIPD. My training is through that medium, really. They keep me up to date with all the changes. And I have to do CPD to maintain my professional qualification.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? So I'd like to ask all of you now, because you're all... Tom, how long's your business been going?
2019, so 7 years as of last month.
Oh, so you're the oldest business in the room.
Woo!
Okay. So I'll start with you, Tom. What challenges have you seen since you started the business? I mean, obviously, you went through that period.
Mm-hmm.
So... what challenges would you say you've seen since you started your business?
What, as in running the business challenges or...?
Yeah, I mean, I know you go networking a lot, you go to Entrepreneur's Circle.
Yep.
I mean, that they would address any challenges, I'm sure.
Yes, I suppose the biggest challenge, or the first proper challenge we hit, was when to bring on your next member of staff. Yeah. Bringing that first person on is... it's a big move. It's a big thing to do, to suddenly kind of trust someone with part of your business.
Not only that, you're responsible for their livelihood as well, aren't you?
Yeah. You're now paying their mortgage and everything else. I think personally, I probably waste a bit too long, because I know obviously then it kind of affects yourself. And I had clients that came to us after we brought our first person on to go, you're now back to how you were before. Because I think it was just getting a bit too much for me. So that bringing that first person on, I suppose, was the first proper hurdle we saw. Mm. It's the second employee, so much easier. So much easier. Once you've done that first one, it's easy to kind of chuck another person on.
There's so much to think about, isn't there, when you take on that first employee.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to remember, you've got to set up a pension, for example.
You do,
somebody to run your payroll.
Yeah, yeah. It was that thing of, I when I was bringing that first one on, it's, oh, I want to make sure that we can definitely afford them every month before I start to bring them on. At which point you're now covering two people's worth of work before you bring someone on, and that doesn't work. No. That's not helpful. No.
So I've done the opposite. So
you brought them in too early.
No, I haven't taken them in too early. I think I've taken her in at just about the right time, and it's freeing me up to do more networking. So I'm working more on the business than in the business now. Yep. I'm obviously overseeing everything that's going out because, you know, the relationship between myself and Amanda is fairly new. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she is qualified. She does know her stuff. And, you know, so far it's looking pretty promising. So,
That's fantastic. So, Matt, what's your challenge? Well, you've brought your wife on.
Now, was that choice or...?
They said don't work with family or friends.
I mean, we get on really well, and we work together really well. The things we do complement each other rather than work against each other. So bringing on an employee that is also your wife was a challenge, but also not at the same time, because it's somebody that you obviously have to worry about livelihood and things like that, but it's also my livelihood. So it's already covering, already worried about that, so add another one in. What's it matter? That's fine.
Well, I suppose you've technically removed your safety net of she's employed somewhere else.
100%, yeah. So we're,
that was your risk, I suppose.
My risk was then free-falling and going, oh, what if it doesn't now? What if we don't get enough? But if you live like that, then you never do anything and you never grow your business. But we're not looking to take over the world. It's just the two of us. We're not going to get involved with employing anyone else at this stage. So it works for us. Our actual biggest challenge, because that was quite easy for me, being that it was my wife, the training is very different. The everything's very different. The hardest part is bringing everything in line because everything's in my head. So we don't have SOPs. We don't have procedures. We don't have any of the standard infrastructure that a normal business would have when bringing someone in. So Amy is forever shouting at me, how do we do this? How do we do that? If I can't do it, if you don't tell me what it is. So I've got a lot better at putting processes in place and things like that. I mean, we communicate with each other through Slack now because we're professionals. It's just WhatsApp just gets ignored. So if we have Slack going, we know what we're doing, what's going on, who's doing on what.
So you never talk face to face anymore now. It's all through Slack.
No, that's it. We get in the evening. We don't talk to each other. Pure messages. It's great.
What I want to know is what happens if you and your wife fall out or you get an employee relations issue.
Who's the boss?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, we're both directors, so... It's 50-50, but we don't have fallouts and things like that. We're very much in tune with how we're working, where we're going, what we're doing, who does what. So it just works for us. But a lot of people always say to us, oh my God, you work with your wife, are you mad? But for me, it's great. It means we have that personal thing and we can then give that to others. The way we work reflects in our work.
Well, I can see it. I mean, sometimes I'll email Matt and Amy replies, because what I've emailed Matt is Amy, it's Amy's job sort of thing. So, you know, she will be the one who replies. So what I'm trying to do now is see which things she's emailed me back about and make sure that I then, you know, respond to her.
I mean, it doesn't matter who you send it to. We'll send it to each other, depending on how it works.
It's good, isn't
it? We do actually ticket systems are amazing.
Yeah, I mean...
deals with that for you.
Yeah, that is one way of doing it.
Oh, brilliant. What about your challenges then, Lindsay?
Having enough hours in the day, I think. You know, it's still early days for me. It's 2 years in. And whilst I say I'm using Amanda more for the delivery, I am. But I'm still getting probably more involved than I should do. You know, I'm up at 5:30, 6:00 most evenings. Most mornings. And then some nights, you know, I'm going back to work after tea and, you know, not going to bed till 10:00 or something. So yeah, I need to learn when to switch off. So there will come a stage, and I think probably fairly soon, that I'll have to think about taking on a third member of staff.
And will you take on someone who's HR, or would you take on like an administrator?
I think I would probably take on a junior HR, somebody that I could develop.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I suffer with a lot of this time, procedures, and what's happened where I've been trying to work on procedures, because obviously taking on group leaders has been really important to do that. I then haven't been networking. So when I first started Synergy, it was like everyone was saying, oh, you're everywhere, you're here, you're there. And I'm a member of the Chamber, and I don't think I've been since November last year.
I haven't seen you at any.
No. So
yeah, I've been a bit lax on going to Chamber events as well.
Yeah, so, you know, I need to get back out there again. It was Metro Bank in Maidstone yesterday. I was on my way out the door, and a girlfriend rang me. She needed some help, and that was it. I didn't go. So, you know, it was just, you just get things come in the way, don't you?
And you need to clone yourself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, brilliant. Okay, so I'm now going to go to Tom, and we're going to talk about some of the events.
Yeah.
So we, at Synergy, we're doing a few different events. We actually, in Sidcup, have been doing a bit of a mastermind the last two sessions. And the reason we've done that is because the numbers of people, there's been so many people on holiday and everything, that we've been doing mastermind, and people there have absolutely loved it.
Okay.
What's mastermind, Linda?
So what it is somebody will, I'll say to somebody, right, think about an issue that you've got that you'd like to discuss with the room, the people in the room. And so it's just everyone sat on a table, and then they say about the issue, and then everyone at the table will ask them a question or two to find out more about that issue. And then you'll go around the table, and they will give a resolution to the problem once they've answered it. And then the person says what they're going to do. And you've seen, it's been amazing to see the girls' faces, and because it's been girls every time, and just see how they valued it. It's been really powerful.
Wow. Really good idea.
Yeah, it's been really powerful.
So they do something similar at EC. A couple of times a year they'll do, they call it a hot seat, same sort of thing. You bring a challenge to the room, run through it, and then yeah, kind of open forum and chat it through.
You which, only yeah, literally have time for four, because you spend 15 minutes on each one, and of course our networking normally takes an hour, so you have the open bit, then an hour's networking, then open again, so you've got time for four, so it's 15 minutes. You have to be quite strict on, I have to be quite strict on time, and I have to be really careful not to butt in.
I bet you find that hard.
So far away.
Cool. I just checked the date there to make sure I don't talk about things that have already happened. So tonight at 6:30 you've got the Whitstable event. Thursday, so tomorrow midday, you've got the online event. I'm going to ignore the ones that are obviously not work ones on this calendar you've given me. You then got Canterbury 10:30, so that's the daytime one on the 18th. I've missed Maidstone on the 17th.
Yes, yeah. Are you coming to that, or is that Colin?
I don't know. I need to have a look at my calendar.
I have to remember to come
might
this time.
Be me. Yes. Might be me on that one. Sorry, Colin did that once. I think I was at my daughter's swimming. My son, he messaged him, aren't you supposed to be somewhere? No. Yes. and then sort of rounding off that week, you've got your Maidstone walk at 10:30 on Friday the 21st.
So has anyone tried the walk yet?
No,
I might give it a go, because I can bring my dog, can't I?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I might give it a go, depending on how hot it is. Obviously, she's not walking much. She's walking at 9 o'clock at night at the moment, because it's just too hot for her.
Yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be killer.
Yeah. So we've got some big ones in September, all quite close, and we've got a launch in September. So in September, we are working with the Arida Hotel, who's one of our patrons, and they're putting on a Christmas event. And what it is a pre-Christmas test. So we're saying to our listeners and our members, if you want to take along, you know, your customers, it's great because you can go along and it's, you know, free taste of food. They give you a welcome drink. So it's a fantastic opportunity to network as well as see what they would offer at Christmas time. So on the 10th of September, we're at the Holiday Inn, which is Seven Oaks Maidstone.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And then on the 25th, which is a Friday.
Yep, 4 o'clock again.
We're at the Arida Hotel. So both of those are going to be really good, really different. So I've said to members to go along to that. And, you know, if any of the listeners want to go along, some people are going along, they're taking their staff. So it's going to be a fantastic opportunity to mingle with bigger businesses again, because it's a free event. Obviously, the Arida are inviting as well. We're inviting. I've invited quite a few big businesses. I think my daughter's business, they're going to get people along there. So that's quite a big worldwide business, actually. And also some quite other big businesses that I've asked, they're going along and they're either going to take some of their staff or they're going to take customers. So really great networking opportunity.
Okay.
Then we're launching with Thackeray Williams, who are another patron of ours, and that launches on the 29th of September.
Ah, is that the Bromley one?
That's the Bromley one.
Ah. They're lawyers, aren't they?
They're lawyers, so they...
Yeah, they did my first house.
Did they? Yeah. So there are members in Kings Hill. So we have Nima, who's going to be on the show, actually, and Katrina attend. And they have been on the show before as well. And basically what they're doing is they're opening up. They've got a beautiful foyer in Bromley. And they're opening that up and they're providing, like, pastries and tea and coffee and everything. And saying to people to come up. So it's free for members, £5 for guests. So a fantastic opportunity to meet some really good people who can, you know, be good for your business.
That's a nice early one for you. So 8:30 on the 29th.
I'm never going to remember all these dates, Linda, but are they on the website?
They're all on the website. Yeah. So if you go on to the, which I discovered the other day, if you go onto the member page, you can actually see every event right up to Christmas.
Okay.
It's like someone planned it.
Almost like that was intentional.
Which I ask because on the actual events page, you only see the next three. Mm. So on there, you're seeing the... and then, of course, on the 30th, we have our two speakers here. And we're looking for a third sponsor. So we're actually looking for someone else to sponsor. Tom, what are you going to talk about on the 30th?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay.
Me neither. Okay. I know Tom's done it before, and I asked him, you know, what did you talk about? Because I didn't know, you know, quite how to pitch it. But, yeah, I'll give it some thought between now and then.
Well, we do quite like it to be... It's funny, actually, because someone said to me the other day, they said... Because I was going to charge for the trades event, speaking at the trades event. Mm. And he said, if you are going to charge, then I'm going to pitch... And I was like, okay, well, that actually doesn't make sense in a way, because what you want to do at these events is you need to show your authority on the subject you're speaking about.
And give value.
And when you do that, I mean, look at the response you had from the trades event. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was really good. I've had someone contact me separately from that as well, so yeah. Something was right.
You could see that people really valued everything you said at that event. And I know that when you spoke about cybersecurity at the last mm-hmm. one, and the value you gave in that was just amazing. So I think that the more value you offer, the better it is, mm. Rather than doing a pitch, because I think people's ears close when you pitch.
Yeah.
Which is what I've designed sort of Synergy to be the way it is, that it's not about pitching, it's about people getting to know you.
Yeah, obviously we were having a chat beforehand, and I said, yeah, whenever I'm asked to talk, I always go down the lines of, I know 95% of the people in the room are probably not going to buy from us. Mm. And that's absolutely fine. But I want everyone listening to be able to take something from the talk and go and use it so that everyone's got value out of it.
It was the exact same way I did mine. Everybody knows they should be doing something, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily know what they should be doing. Simple, actionable things are more valuable to people than just going on with acronyms and all kinds of nonsense, especially when it's so early in the morning. No one's really woken up yet.
It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah. You don't need to stand there and make yourself sound clever, because everyone just gives up and stops listening. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely have to give it some thought then, because I don't know. I mean, obviously I could talk about the Employment Rights Act, but I don't want to bore everybody stupid. So, yeah.
I mean, you talk about communication, psychology in the workplace, those sorts of things. What's the main problem you find that people come to you with?
When people come to me, they're coming to me with employment related issues. That's how I always get my clients. And then once I've sorted out the issue, then I get to speak to them really about other work and retainers and sort of proactive strategic HR rather than just reactive HR.
Mm.
You could always kind of go down the line of then anonymise, obviously, but find a case that you've done.
I could do case study, yeah.
And actually use that to kind of build your talk around.
That's a good idea.
Because then you've got something real world and sort of tangible that people can actually see how it happened.
Yeah, no, that is a good idea, actually.
Just a thought.
I'm glad I came today. Yeah.
How do your clients come to you, Matt?
A lot of ours are through word of mouth and client referrals. We obviously, Amy does a lot of networking. That's a royal we me saying that. Amy generally goes out and does 90% of the networking. She's very good at it, and she's very good at getting across what we offer. Then the rest of it comes through clients saying, that was amazing, thank you very much, I know someone else that needs this help. So, yeah, a lot of ours is word of mouth.
Mm. That's amazing, isn't it?
I get word of mouth as well, obviously, and I get quite a lot through the CIPD. You know, when I'm chairing member events for them, it's to HR practitioners, so I get a lot of work from in-house HR people that I've met through the CIPD network.
So if you were to go into a business now, they've never had an HR person, they've been using the FSB to troubleshoot, and say, I don't know, they've got 20 staff, what would be the first thing you would do?
I would probably look at what they've got in place already, so I'd do some sort of audit of their documentation and their processes. I'd also talk to them about their growth ambitions, try and understand what it is they want to do in terms of, you know, evolving their business. And then I would try and help them build a HR strategy that enables them to realise those ambitions.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because it is about growth. We're all helping people with growth in different ways.
Sorry, I've just had a random message from Colin, who is listening to the radio at the moment, telling me I won't be there at Maidstone because I'm at the school. So it will be Colin with you. He's sitting there listening while he's pat testing, bless him.
And keeping your diary.
And correcting me on my diary or lack thereof, yeah.
Okay. It's great, actually, because we've, you know, he comes in and he's generally the first person there and we put his VIP lanyard on. I think he absolutely loves it. So yeah.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to handing out more of those. Because, of course, Thackeray will be getting the VIP lanyards now. So they'll be like, oh, what's this then?
Why am I singled out?
I know.
So what do you have to do to get a VIP lanyard then?
Be a patron of Synergy. Yeah. So
my headphones are falling off.
Yeah, we don't.
In shock.
We don't actually talk about the patron very often. And the reason that I did it, funnily enough, is because I heard of another networking group that were doing it that were charging an awful lot of money. And I thought.
Chamber do it.
I know. And I thought, that's so much, that's unfair. But the other thing they did, which we haven't actually got off pat, you know, we need to probably, is that people sign a contract, and once they've signed that contract, they're in it for a year and there's no getting out of it. So they charge like a monthly fee, and it's a lot of money. And then, you know, with some of the smaller companies, they take it on and then they're like, I can't afford this anymore. Mm. But they can't get out of it.
It's funny you should say that, because the likes of Peninsula, they tie companies into 3, 4, 5 year contracts. I've got confidence in what I do, so my retainers don't come with a tie-in. People, you know, people carry on using me because they like what I'm doing. I don't see the need to tie them in unnecessarily.
And that's actually my thoughts in regards to Synergy as well. I don't need to tie them in because that's, you know, because I've got confidence. But it's funny that the way some people look at it, they might look at it that like, right, okay, that's costing me £20 to come there and £20 to come there. I'm paying £40 for one, I'd be paying £50. £40 for two if I wasn't a member, but they're not looking at all the other member benefits that are available, which I sort of find quite frustrating. So we've got them on the website now, haven't we?
We have now got a page dedicated to the members' benefits,
yeah,
which is all the people, what they offer and how to get in touch with them as well.
Mm. And I like the fact that, you know, potentially in the future we are going to go down the procurement route, because that's going to be an amazing benefit, I think, for people to know that we've got that available as well. So, yeah, it's exciting time to watch this space. Yes.
You're just sitting there trying to work out how much work you've got to do, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the invoice figures at the moment.
Nice chunky bill coming your way, Linda.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. So if we were to dig deep into your business, I mean, you know, obviously we came to you and it was obvious what we needed doing. Do you have some businesses that come to you that it isn't so obvious what they need doing?
Oh, yeah, 100%. We have. Every niche, every industry is different. We, in your site, in 6 months, the traffic went absolutely ballistic.
Mm.
We've had other sites where in 6 months it's gone up by 3 because of how competitive that industry is and how hard it is to break into specific keywords, especially if these are gardeners and there's a lot of paid ads and things like that. So instantly on the Google feed now. When you're searching for something, you'll have an AI overview. You'll potentially have a map dependent on the service. You'll then have sponsored feeds. So your organic position one could be three quarters of the way down the page now. It's completely different. So getting people to scroll down to that point and click through is a very strange thing. Mm-hmm. But a big thing Google have now introduced in Search Console is it's tracking the AI citations. So you can say, look, your traffic hasn't improved, but you've been mentioned 45% more in the top banner. The problem comes when the top banner AI overview is answering the question and nobody's then going onto the site mm-hmm. to engage with the content.
Oh.
That's the big difference now. Right. So you're not getting the clicks because what they've searched for has been answered by your content already. So it's a fun world in certain industries, especially more service-based things. Because if you have a how-to article and you solve it succinctly on the site, Google will use just that snippet and then that will solve the user's request straight away. So they won't read the rest of the article or look through it if that solves it for them.
Then they're not being pointed to the website.
They're just being citated with a little bit at the bottom. That no one clicks on.
That seems a bit unfair, doesn't it?
Mm. It was kind of inevitable that as soon as you kind of start linking AI to searching, it was going to happen. The amount of how-to guides and FAQs that dust around or blog articles, it's going to reference them all. And yeah, unfortunately, yeah, the only, I suppose, nod to you is normally a little bubble that I say no one clicks on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So, I mean, with us, I mean, there's lots of networking groups that start. I think since we started in business, I think there's been 8 in Kent that have launched. Luckily, we're still sort of number one. We're above the ones that have been going for 40 years because we have such a good SEO gentleman over here. So I'm talking about Matt White from M&A Digital. So Matt, what do you think it's, you know, for those businesses that aren't being found, what do you do for them? What can you do?
So we offer a free of charge site audit where we will look through the site, have a look at things like meta titles, meta descriptions, heading structure, and just the basics to say, does your H1 cover what you do? Are your H2s, H3s, H4s all running in order? Just the things that Google are looking at to say, yes, this page looks like it should look like, and it looks relevant to the rest of the site.
So H1, H2, H4, is that headings?
They are the headings, yes.
Right, okay.
So your headings have to say what you do or what you're covering, who you're targeting. Otherwise, Google won't read all the paragraphs potentially.
Mm. And it's funny, I've changed from networking to business growth with some of mine because, you know, people are looking for business growth. That's mm-hmm. why they're going to networking events. So we sort of tweaked that a little while ago. Any of my networking people out there that my competitors, not we have those in this industry, but, you know, that's what I'm doing.
Topical authority is a massive thing.
Mm.
Hitting business networking isn't just about ranking for business networking. It's all the related keywords to it and anything that's relevant, because what you do is you build a pillar of content. So you have one big thing in the middle that says, this is it, we are the business networking place in Kent, and then you have little articles around it about business growth, about what to do at a networking event, what to expect, all of them sort of things, and they all lead into the one article that covers everything as well.
So tell me what you would do with a big company that was launched in the 70s or 80s, has got a website. I remember seeing an air conditioning one once, and basically the air conditioning company, the pictures on the front, I mean, I wasn't doing, I'm not a website expert, but they had, they had pictures of an air conditioning unit on the front. And I remember saying to the chap, you know, that's not going to appeal to anybody. You know, who wants to look at a picture of an air conditioning unit? You know, you should have pictures of people looking like cool and happy, because that's the way people want to feel when they have air conditioning. So I don't know why I was giving advice when I'm not an expert, but anyway, that's what I was saying. But you find that a lot of the older companies, they're like, well, you know, I'm now a so many million pound business, I don't need a website. What do you say to them?
Half the time, they're probably right, but they're not the ones that need that help. If it is an established business, it depends where the owner wants to go with it. If they're looking to modernise, then they do need new pictures, new graphics, new content, and completely overhaul the site.
And none of that sodding stock imagery.
Absolutely.
I know.
I'm on to my third website now.
Or even worse, AI-generated
I've only
images.
I've been going 2 years.
Why have you changed your website, Lindsay?
Because the one that was built initially was built by my my daughter's other half, and it was just to get me started. And then I wanted something that was specifically written for me. So I went to a guy who is a creative, I think, rather than technical SEO. And now I know that I'm missing the SEO element, so I'm looking potentially at, revisiting what I've got. I like the look and feel of it, but I don't think it's optimised for SEO.
It's interesting, isn't it?
No, it is. I mean, I see this with a lot of young companies and startup companies. A lot of people go with Wix or GoDaddy, Ionos.
Because they're drag and drop and they can do it themselves.
Drag and drop,
yeah.
Easy to use web builders, and they put something up, which is great, until you're paying monthly for things you don't need. You never actually own your website, depending on the contract. So you go, right, okay, this is great. I built it. It does what I want, says what I want. I'm now going to move it to WordPress. And they go, no, you can't do that. And as soon as you stop paying, the whole thing disappears.
Wow.
So it's, yes, they're affordable to begin with. But if you're using Yale, for example, at £40 a month for 10 years, you're spending an absolute fortune when a hosting package, generally, £100, £150 a year.
Yes, yeah.
It's not going to be much more than that.
Wow. Yeah, it's scary stuff.
I think we need to have a chat, Matt.
So, listeners, we are speaking to Lindsay Moore of HR Consulting Kent. We're speaking to Tom Reveley of IT Manager Services. And we're also speaking to Matthew White of M&A Digital. So we're going to go for a short break now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more. And we're actually going to do some shout-outs for some of our Synergy members, which is one of the many benefits of being a Synergy member. So stay with us. It's going to be a few adverts. And we're going to do a little song, which is Beautiful People, which is what these three people are. They're beautiful people. So that's going to be the song, and that's by Terry Blair, and I can't read the other name. It begins with A. So apparently I'm not a very good DJ.
I thought for a minute you wanted us to sing then.
It did seem like it.
I know.
I'd say I didn't agree to that one.
Me neither. I mean, I will, but you won't have any listeners left.
Okay, listeners, so stay tuned. We are coming back afterwards to continue this conversation, and thanks for being with us for the first half. Bye.
Looking for the perfect stay in Maidstone? Discover comfort, style and convenience at Aurida Hotels Maidstone. Whether you're visiting for business or a weekend escape, enjoy spacious rooms, a fully equipped gym, relaxing spa facilities and delicious dining, all under one roof. With easy access to local Kentish attractions and excellent service from check-in to check-out, your stay is in great hands. Book today at Aurida Hotels Maidstone, where every visit feels just right. Tired of IT headaches, slow computers, security worries, lost files? Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 01795 342 362 now and get your IT sorted.
Welcome to the Business Network Show with experienced networkers and business owners, Jill Russell and Linda Cloak.
Okay, everyone, the speakers are on and I'm going to just do some shout outs to people. You've got some there, Tom, as well.
I do. Probably the same ones.
Okay, well, I'll go first with Chris Henry. Ooh, me, please. I'll have a shout out. I've got limited time photo opportunity coming up in August. Sneak peeks on LinkedIn. Have you seen Chris Henry's photographs on LinkedIn? He's doing them in the sunshine down on the coast. They're absolutely stunning.
Okay.
Really, really great photographs. Nick Inge has asked for one, but he's just put, yes, please, Tom.
Okay. Done.
Does anyone know what Nick Inge does?
I trust.
I trust.
Okay. Well done. Okay, so what's I trust? Come on, the
feedback.
Well done. The feedback specialist. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So so we use it in our business for from a networking perspective, so we can get feedback. And funnily enough, the main thing we get feedback about is the food in the hotels.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
I know. So it's not really about us. It's more about, you know, the venues and
But that's fine. It tells you whether either you're in the right venues or not quite.
Yeah, I mean, the venue we're in this evening is lovely. We're upstairs in Chesterfield Barn. So they've got Chesterfield Golf Course behind it, which is a really, really old building. And they've got an upstairs to, you know, the area that we go in. And I was thinking last time it was so hot, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be unbelievably hot. But they had an aircon unit up there. So it was really lovely. So really great. So who's the next one on there?
So we've got Christine and Nikki from Blossoming Connections, somatic and trauma-informed therapists and coaches. They deliver workshops in workplaces, schools and communities across Kent and London. And they've also got a trauma-informed parenting workshop coming up on Friday the 18th, 10 a.m. till 12 online. All information is on their social media.
Fantastic. And the girls were on the show and they thoroughly enjoyed being on the radio show, actually. So we found out a bit more about them. It's good for me to have members on the show because it helps me to find out more about their business. So we've got one here from Julie Hall. She's one of our newer members, and she's AIVA, helping busy business owners free up their time to fuel their growth by taking care of their day-to-day admin. What others have you got there?
I've got Jane Martin. We have a trades promotion of 10% off a full year's membership for all trades, FSB. You can either get in touch with her on her mobile of 0758 364 2202, or email her on jane.martin@fsb.org.uk.
So we all need to pretend to be a trade.
You get 10% off.
Yes. So John Kelly has said, just please, Linda, making it simple for you to write your will, understand the appropriate use of trusts and grant lasting powers of attorney.
We've got Sheila, 50% off the... of the working population, now 50% of the working population now either do something else on the side or are looking for something to raise extra income to keep their heads above water. If she can help you, if you're looking to help people, prepared to work 4 to 5 hours per week with full ongoing support and training and will benefit from an extra £1,000 to £2,000 per month, reach out to her on 07720 844 363.
And we've got Sue McGulfie as well. She said she needs one more customer to sign up before Friday to be able to achieve her promotion. So she is a utility warehouse provider, and utility warehouse, I'm a utility warehouse customer, and it does save you money when you have multi things. Are any of you utility warehouse?
I am. I am as well, yeah.
Yeah, it really
has. Just me that's not then.
And do you use the cashback card?
Yes.
Yeah, I use the cashback card as well, and it's really great because that cashback card, you know, when you see that you're making money when you're spending money, makes you want to spend a bit more.
It's
really
money you're spending anyway, so you might as well. It's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. So Sue McGoofy is looking. So if you want to save some money, then she's around there.
I've also got Adrian from Confident Cashflow, helping businesses with their terms and conditions, cash flow strategy, and outsourced credit support. A fractional credit controller for as little as 2 hours per month. Contact him on adrian@confidentcashflow.com.
So Adrian was on the show with Sam as well. So that was a really good show. It's really interesting to find out, because a lot of people factor their invoices, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, factoring, we used to do that when I was in business with my husband. It was really expensive. Yeah, you had to pay him quite a big chunk of money. I think what he does is great. So Neil Emerton, A to B Technology in Ashford, the telecoms company that does something quite unusual in their industry. They actually answer the phone.
I know, Neil. I'm with A to B.
They are very good.
Oh, that's brilliant. What a great. He said they help businesses with phone systems, VoIP, broadband, mobiles and support, but their real strength is keeping things simple, reliable and human. And you work with them, Tom, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. We're one of their resellers.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no,
it?
They're very, very good at what they do.
Brilliant. So,
and very reasonably priced as
yes.
well, aren't they?
And Neil comes along to our Ashford group that meets on the second Tuesday of every month, and that second Monday of every month, and that is with Ethan, which is in the new Fox Inn, which is really a lovely bar. And they do a great curry as well. And then Steph Nicholson has said, Books and Balance are your outsourced finance team, helping ambitious business owners gain financial clarity and confidence with expert bookkeeping, payroll and finance support. Do you use someone to do your finance support?
I've only got an accountant. I do my accounts, my bookkeeping myself for the time being, but it's something I am thinking I will outsource, and I know Steph.
Yeah, and it's great because she uses this little thing called Apron. Do any of you use it?
No.
So for us, every time we go to a venue and we have to pay for the buffet, we just take a picture of the receipt and it goes straight into the bookkeeping. It's so much easier than, you know, having to remember to put them all in a pile in date order and, you know, just as they go, we do it. It's brilliant. Yeah, so. And then Lindsay Smith, PSM Recruitment, dealing with all permanent recruitment in Kent, helping people save time and money on finding the right person for their company and helping people find the right role for them. Thank you. Lindsay, you're meant to be on holiday. What are you doing?
It was pre-scheduled.
She's meant to be on holiday, you naughty girl.
You know, this shows the power of networking, because I know practically all those names that you've said there, that you've given shout outs to.
It's great as well because you know, we're saying about the WhatsApp group and, you know, things that are going to go on the website and everything, but the WhatsApp group definitely has its position because, you know, they've all responded to that, which is really good. I mean, when we've done a couple of polls, you know, that you don't get everyone respond.
No.
And you get some people that don't even look at the WhatsApp.
I don't even know if I'm on the WhatsApp group.
You are. I invited you, but you've ignored me.
Oh, sorry.
You're one of those people.
I really didn't mean to. You'll have to invite me again and I'll definitely accept. Because then I can have a shout out.
I wouldn't intentionally ignore you, Linda.
It's funny because it's the second time, because I think you've said to me before,
yes,
you're not on there.
Well, I've got you on WhatsApp personally, haven't I?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And you joined the group, so I've sent you an invite to the group. Yeah, to Maidstone and Medway.
Did you do? I think I know someone.
Oh dear,
the thing is, you get messages from so many different channels, don't you?
Oh god, yeah.
And it's so difficult.
And then you end
up
in 100 different WhatsApp chats.
Yeah.
So what's the common thread that you see? I mean, obviously, you know, Lindsay's looking after people, you're looking after their infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
What's the common thread you see in businesses that get IT right?
Get it right. So it's normally when the owners or the management actually take responsibility for their IT. What you tend to find, especially as companies get bigger, is they have their outsourced company or their in-house people that look after it, and no one in the senior positions actually takes ownership. When those discussions hit the boardrooms or hit the leadership team and they're actually involved with it, you tend to find the companies are running a lot better. They're a lot more controlled on their spending on IT as well at that point, rather than just throwing money at a problem rather than fixing
it. Okay, and what's the main problem that you see come up?
That's not an easy question to ask, though. as much as everyone's using tech, everyone's using it differently. There isn't really one thing that hits every business. You'll find there'll be a... Sometimes there's kind of two ways people do it. They'll either throw lots of money and keep replacing equipment when that's not the problem. And actually it's the processes, the procedures, or the people using them or around it. Or the other end is where they put no money towards their equipment and everything's dragging their staff down. So everything's really old, everything's not quite able to cope. It's not that often you find people that hit that sweet spot. And that's where companies like us kind of come in, because you can sit there and go, it's 5 years old, it needs replacing. Rule of thumb, maybe. But what you'll find is there's some machines that in 10 years' time are actually still golden, and others that have only been there for a year or two, and they need replacing. So when you've got a company that's managing those pieces of equipment, keeping an eye on them, you're spending money in the right place rather than either just replacing because it's hit a perceived lifespan, or not replacing at all.
I think I was speaking to Adele King the other day. Have you met Adele?
Not a name that rings a bell.
Okay, so she's a new member, and I've used different software for doing social media and everything. Do you get involved in any of that or not?
I have a lovely outsourced social media lady, which is Heather.
All right. Okay,
who does our socials for us.
So, well, so she obviously uses her software.
Yes.
But what Adele does, which I discovered when we had that little round table session, is that she, when you get what you like, 365,
mm-hmm.
rather than getting loads of different software pieces, she streams it all together. So I'm probably going to need you to speak to her, Matt. It all, like, ties in. Because at the moment, we're using Go High Level. We're trying to get it to talk to the website. We're using NetHub. I've just started using something called Marbleism. You know, bleh.
There's so many different things you use and change, and we tend to get them to work where we can.
You can see the frustration in Matt's face at the moment.
There'll be something new, but I know Go High Level, everything that you use works in a different way for a different thing, so bringing them all into one place, obviously we're looking to bring the events onto the site, that takes NetHub out, and that also gives people a reason to stay on the site.
Mm.
The Go High Level just works sort of in a different way than you use it, in a different way than most other people would use it, I would say.
So that's a Linda problem.
It's a fancy piece of scheduling software for you rather than all singing, all dancing CRM.
Really?
So you're just using yours to post your social media stuff,
No, I'm using it to email clients. I send out the newsletter that you get through. I send through that as well. When someone books via the newsletter, it takes them to NetHub, I think. So, but we went with that initially because it was a really great way for us to start, and I felt it was a good benefit for members to have NetHub to go onto, because they already had, like, at the time I think it was something like 3,000 people. Now they've got in excess of 5,000 businesses nationwide. But a lot of, are you using it, Lindsay?
Not really.
No. So a lot of our members aren't using it. So what's the point of having a benefit that members aren't using? So that's why I wanted it to be that it's on our website. Matt is a member, so obviously he wants it to work, you know, smoothly. And the other thing as well is you want as many people going onto your website as possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mm.
And you have to give them a legitimate reason to go on there. You can't just dangle a carrot and then not have anything work. It has to work as a community and a social place.
Mm. Yeah, but it wouldn't work as a CRM, or could it still be a CRM as
That's
well?
That's Go High Level. That's your CRM.
I know it is.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't work as a CRM.
All right, okay. Just getting clarification.
That's fine.
Only because when people book an event, you know, obviously they book an event, they're not a member, and then they have to go into the CRM because then they get an email.
Yes, but obviously between Go High Level and Matt, they'll be able to make sure it actually talks properly.
We can set webhooks up and all kinds of technical things to make it happen.
The person using it doesn't need to realise they're jumping between systems.
I see that I'm getting my problem solved on my radio. I knew I was here for a reason.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. I don't know which of these guys it's of, but automation. Are either of you guys into that or can support with that?
It's probably both of us, if I'm honest.
Yes,
depending on what you're after.
Different ways, I would imagine.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm after yet. I just would like to help with automating some of the repetitive tasks that I'm doing.
Yeah, I think, depending on what you're looking for, both of us probably could, but I think it would probably be a chat between the three of us and we can figure out where's your best place.
Mm. Okay.
And maybe Adele King as well.
Yes. Well, everybody's talking about automation these days, aren't they? And yeah, it does make a lot of sense. It can drive efficiencies.
Uh-huh.
What she said is that so many people... It's funny, really, because when you talk about networking, you talk about people doing a pitch, it's understanding what your customer wants or what different things you offer that they may want. Yep. So we haven't spoken about cybersecurity today, which I'd like to, but that's something that people obviously don't want. They don't want it to happen, but they don't want it. They don't want to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
So you've got that double-edged sword there, haven't you? And that's the same really as something like automations. You want it, but there's a cost attached to it. And it's like, and when I said to Adele that I'd signed up with Marbleism, she's like, that's when I need to speak to someone when they're thinking about signing up another software.
Yep.
because what she does is make sure that everything speaks, and she mainly uses 365. Because 365 has got Copilot, mm-hmm. and it all goes through and all speaks together. Whereas, you know, I didn't know that before.
Yeah, to be fair, people, when you're kind of chatting automation and things like that, people tend to get confused between automation and AI and kind of think they're one and the same. Mm. When, yes, they absolutely can be. They can work very well together, but it's automation is, as you were kind of alluding to, it's that repetitive task.
Yeah.
It doesn't need AI. AI is writing things for you, doing things for you. Automation is the, well, I've got this template that I use. I've got this letter that I always send out. You've created the data, and you're just getting a robot in the background to go, I'll send it. Mm. But you do get people kind of conflate the two quite a lot as well.
So talking about AI.
Yes.
Have the criminal fraternity employed AI yet? 100%.
You'll see that in the spam emails and those phishing emails you get. It's no longer, I'm a Nigerian prince, I'm going to give you lots of money. They're not so full of spelling errors and grammatical errors because they're written by someone that English is not their native language. They're using AI. It's doing all the work for them. Mm. There are some very, very, very good phishing emails out there right now.
I nearly came across with one the other day that was purportedly from my bank, uh-huh. but it wasn't. I rang my bank. They hadn't sent me anything.
And Amazon, yeah. That's a new one as well. I've had a few from Amazon saying, you know, did I want to make sure my money was safe? Someone's tried doing an order for £700 and can I give them the code to get in? I went, no.
Yeah. But yeah, they're getting a lot smarter because, yeah, they're using AI, they're using computers to do the work for them now.
Yeah. So how would somebody, you know, maybe recognise it now? Because that's how you used to recognise it straight away because they were prints or...
Yeah,
you know,
or the grammatical errors. And things. So yeah. it's... Is that email odd for you to receive? Is it something that you're not expecting or from somewhere you're not used to receiving emails from? So it's looking at if it's the right person, the right sort of time, you're expecting it to come through and it all feels right. It's that gut feeling it kind of comes down to now. It is the gut feeling. You look at it and there'll be that momentary pause and you'll sit there and stop. If you pause, there's probably a reason you paused. And if you're not sure, pick up the phone, give someone a call on a number you already have. Don't use numbers off the emails or email addresses built within them. Use details you've already got. Give them a shout and just go, did you send this? Because half the time they'll say no.
Yeah, that's
right. Quite often target new members of staff as well, mm-hmm. don't they, through LinkedIn? Because I remember when I did my last in-house role and started, I was in charge of payroll. And I got an email from the operations director to say, can you pay my salary this month into this account? I've changed my account. Better just check with him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You'll find that a lot. Obviously, those ones are, they've not followed a procedure that they would have followed. Mm. It's probably come from an email address that's not their normal email address, or it's not quite speaking in the right language. Mm. And yeah, it's those little moments. You just sit there and go, something's off. Check it.
So it's strange, isn't it? Because, you know, we've gone through this period of they always say listen to your gut, but a lot of people don't because we've not needed to because life has been safe.
And we're in a rush.
Yeah, but now people are having to start listening to their gut more.
Yeah.
We're going back to the, not prehistoric days, obviously, but, you know, you're having to listen to your gut a lot more, aren't you?
There is a reason that something doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think a big part of the phishing is staff training as well. You guys would know. I would probably know. But
well, there's some that would probably catch us out.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. There are some very, very good ones.
There's some that I feel you've been caught out by. Mm. Another thing I've noticed, if you hover over the from email address, it then has a load of gibberish. You go, well, up straight away, I know that's not actually that email.
But sometimes that's because it's come through something like Go High Level.
Yes.
And that adds a lot of gibberish.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it could be legitimate and still have the gibberish.
Yeah, no, you're very right.
That might be why I'm ignoring you.
You're sending gibberish.
Linda is the scam.
Don't say that, we're live on it.
oh, God. But yeah, and it kind of comes down to the way companies have historically looked at kind of training for these sorts of things. It's that one and done. Once a year, we do this bit of training, we tick a box. It doesn't work. It's little and often. Keeping it at the forefront of people's minds makes it so much more effective.
I hate that tick box exercise. Mm. And a lot of people in HR, they, or people see HR as a tick box exercise when it's absolutely not.
Wow. Yeah. So when you do you offer training for cybersecurity?
Yes. So I, alongside my ITMS stuff, so I'm a cybersecurity and AI speaker, trainer and author as well. So yes, I do that. Author. Under my branding. Author. I am about to release my second book.
Oh, fantastic. Mm. What's it called?
I haven't named it yet. That's the last thing. Like the first one's on Amazon. It's on Kindle. The next one will go to the same place as well. So, yes, it'll be on Amazon. It'll be on Kindle.
And what's the first one called?
So, the first one is Email Hijack. So, it's a half story, half factual book. It's based on a client of ours, anonymized. They do know it was based on them. So, it's fine. It runs you through a story of a company that's been compromised through an email.
Wow.
And ended up paying money where they shouldn't have paid it.
Yeah.
It goes through all the kind of the support side of things, but it's a story, and then every now and then it'll break out into the information you need.
Right, okay.
So that it's not aimed at people like me. It's not for people like me to read, which is why kind of the story worked, because it keeps you going and it puts it into that, as I was saying to you with kind of user case study, it puts you into that real environment and you can see how things happen.
Mm. If you were to write a book about HR, what would it be about?
Oh, God, I don't know. You know, I think somebody told me that you have to write a book to be seen as an authority, so I'm going to have to start thinking about it. But what would I write about? So my positioning is loosely based on Simon Sinek's what's his book called? Start With Why. So a lot of HR, as I said previously, is reactive. And I would make it proactive.
Mm-hmm.
So it would probably be something around that. It would probably be around the methodology that I'm in the process of developing. To support companies that want to see their people as their biggest asset and see their people as their drivers of their growth. It'd probably be a bit around that. I'm toying with the idea at the moment, but
that's true. You know, the people in the business are the biggest asset, aren't they? Really,
so especially in a service industry,
you've got to look after them, haven't you?
Mm. Yeah. And from a technical perspective, the biggest risks half the time.
Yes, of course.
If you've got the right people in the right jobs, they will do a good job, and they will help you improve your bottom line.
Mm.
It's a no-brainer, really.
So talking about risk and, you know, when do you say no? So I've said no to some people joining Synergy, which is really hard when you're a new business. You know, to say no to someone joining is like, you know, you want to just say yes to everybody. Obviously, but sometimes you have to say no. When would you say no to a customer, do you think, Lindsay?
So I like to work with customers that value their people. So if I feel that they don't, they're not right for me. I want to work with companies that invest in their people. And I have said no to companies that don't share my values in that respect.
And when you say invest in people, you're talking about the training,
that do the right thing by their people, that, as I said, see their people as their biggest asset, and that want to help develop them, want to make sure that they're happy, want to treat them right. You know, companies that I've worked for companies before in the past that have not done the right thing by their people, not treated them right, they just let them go, you know, at a drop of a hat, and I don't want to work for companies like that.
Mm. So what would you say is treating key personnel, what is treating them right? What are the actions that you think you would like to see in a company that treats their staff right?
It's basically, in my mind, treating them how you would like to be treated. It's as simple as
life,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah. Wow, it's nice and simple. That's a really short video.
Sorry.
What about you, Tom? Have you ever said no?
We have. Yeah, we've said no to some customers coming on board. Sometimes it's location based. As much as yes, we can, and yes, we do work with companies all across the UK. We predominantly try to focus on customers that are either head office based in Kent, or most of their businesses here. Because, yeah, most of our work is online. Most of it, 90% of the time, we can jump on, deal with it. You don't have to go to an office. But if one of my team have got to get to your building and it's going to take us 4 hours to get there, you're sitting there for 4 hours and you can't work. That's not a good service for us to provide. So what I try and do when I do go to sort of larger networking events is I'll go and speak to the other IT people around, because they might actually have a location or an engineer in an area we don't. And it also might be actually their speciality is better for some of our clients. So we have said no to, and we've also passed over existing clients to other providers that actually it was a better fit for the client.
That's really good, isn't it? That's really good. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, no, we have said no to clients before. Sometimes people just aren't the right fit for what you're offering, and that's okay. You can't please everyone, or some people's budget might not align and things get out of control. What you tend to do is try and do extra for them, when in reality it's actually cost you the money trying to help them out. So, yeah, no, we've said no to people, and it has to be the right fit for us.
I'm really pleased I'm the right fit for Matt, and I'm really pleased that when I ask him to do something extra, he includes it all in the monthly fee.
We definitely work with our clients as much as we can, because it's just the two of us. We're a small business. We understand budgets are tight for everyone. Budgets are tight for us in places. So it's about providing the best service we can.
So let's talk about networking, as this is a networking show. So where do you go networking, Matt? So I'm going to ask it again. Where do you go networking? Or where does Amy go networking?
So that is the key thing.
Yes.
Amy generally goes networking at the Synergy events. She goes on the network. She does the Maidstone. And then I am part of the Creative Collective, which is just creative companies, Martin Wiskin and Ben Bowles.
Yeah.
And they are a great, they're almost anti-networking in a way.
Do you enjoy, because I went there, it scared the living daylights out of me, I never went back again.
As a group, they are a wonderful bunch of people.
Yes, yeah.
And it is chaotic.
Yes.
Because if you jam 45, 50 creatives into a Zoom room, you're going to get that. And the whole thing is collaboration, not competition. I mean, we all touched on it before going on air. Sometimes your best referral partners can offer the same thing as you, but they're a specialist in something else.
Yes, yeah. That's amazing. I must admit, I love those guys. You know, I went on that first one. It was right when they first started, so they didn't have that many people on there. I think it was something like, I don't know, 8 or 10 maybe, and we all had to do something. I can't even remember what it was. I think I've blocked it out of my head. But it was so creative, and it was just, I thought, wow, this is so different. It's going to appeal to so many people who have got that L. Myel, she loved it, you know, so she was the creative one in Ouija social media, and but completely different to me. I struggled with it. So they've hit a niche, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. And everybody there might be 5, 6 website people, but that doesn't mean we go, oh, I'm not going to that because somebody else is there. It's a real good community, and the whole collaboration thing is throughout everything. And there's lots of events. We meet up in London, we go out for food, things like that. It's a great group.
Wow, because I thought most of their stuff was online, so they've literally expanded all of that now.
The networking is all online.
Yeah.
But there's also, once you're a member, the networking is fortnightly, and then every other week we open a co-working room, so everybody can just jump on and have a little chat, get stuff done together, all the admin, the boring stuff when you're sitting at home, you've got a place to go and do it.
That's a really good idea. So, and also where your office is, they do networking in there as well, don't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're at Dragon Co-working, and it's a great place to work. That also turns into anti-work half the time, because you get stuck in the kitchen with people and someone else comes in, and before you know it, your 5-minute coffee break's turned into 45 minutes.
Yeah,
and you've done
networking.
Nothing.
That's what I miss about working from home, sort of on my own, because I've not yet got an office. I am going to start looking at co-working spaces. And in fact, I was asking Aaron about it yesterday, just because I miss those water cooler moments, just having somebody to run something past.
The advice you get, everybody's very supportive there as well, and it's just a place where you can ask questions, get things answered, or you can talk about anything you like.
Roland got room there now, or
there are a few offices available, and there's free trial days as well,
so. And the coffee machine's not bad.
The coffee machine is very good.
It even does decaf.
It does.
Does it?
Yes.
It does decaf, it does oat milk, it does hot chocolates, it has everything. And today they had milkshakes, dairy-free milkshakes, and then normal milkshakes, so it's very inclusive. Mm. There's almost snacks about. It's a, it's a very good place
to
work.
He's got a really good formula there, hasn't he?
It's just get good people in the same place.
Yeah. And he keeps on threatening to come to Synergy, so you're going to have to drag him along, Matt.
I'll mention that
because he keeps threatening it. We haven't seen him yet. Be interesting to see him. Okay, so, Tom, you've got plethora of events you go to. Or support with Colin.
Yes, yeah, it's been a bit less of me this year and a lot more of Colin going to events. But, yeah, so we do Hive at Edenwood, which is Edenwood Place. That I officially handed over to Colin earlier this year because I think I'd made one event in a year, and that's a bi-weekly one. Great group of people, sort of 20, 30 people in the room every other week. Absolutely amazing. I do Entrepreneur's Circle, which is officially based up in Birmingham, but we've got a local meeting down in Maidstone. Also meets at Edenwood Place. As a company, we do three of your Synergy events. So Medway, Maidstone and Dartford. And then Colin also attends a couple of business clubs events. Officially, we should be going to the Chamber of Commerce ones, but I just haven't made it this year. Although they have always historically been amazing for work for us. And then, yeah, there's probably a few others dotted around that I've probably forgotten.
So do you find that the structure, because you go to so many... obviously, Entrepreneur Circle is networking, but it's
networking, but not networking. Oh, we do Rookie CEO as well.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, we do Rookie CEO.
So it's
Pints and Prosecco. You haven't been down there either.
I've got to the first one.
Right,
their original event, and it's just always clashed with. They always do it on the same night as EC, so the Maidstone meeting.
Oh, I see.
So it clashes with that. But yeah, so I'm not a massive fan of formal networking. My first foray into networking was Bob, so Business Over Breakfast, and that's similar to BNI in that structured. You can all sit around a table, do your pitch, I worked out quite early on I'm not a breakfast networking fan. And also that scenario doesn't really work for me, because absolutely, you're seeing the same people every week, every couple of weeks, great, amazing. Eventually you're all just running on repeat. You're saying the same things to the same people. Everyone knows, and there's not a lot of new blood coming in. So I worked out it doesn't work for me. And generally, I noted they were kind of smaller businesses. Whereas the slightly more informal stand around the room chat networking, I quite like that.
Which is amazing because they're probably the most expensive ones. The smaller businesses that belong to them. Weird, isn't it?
It is. I found that evening networking's definitely worked better for us. It tends to be larger businesses there. It tends to also be the decision maker there rather than the breakfast networking. It's someone within the business.
I find our evening helps. One and our Kings Hill one. So Kings Hill is 10:30 in the morning.
So it's not breakfast, it's daytime.
We've had some great decision makers at
That's why I think the chamber events work, because they're kind of that daytime one.
I think the reason that you get a lot of smaller companies at the breakfast is because when you're starting out,
they need to network and then go to work.
Delivering in the daytime. Yep. So that's why, because I've gone down that route. Doing a lot of the ones I'm doing was because, I need to do delivery in the daytime.
It works. And I think breakfast networking is, absolutely. It's smaller businesses or it's tradespeople. And it works for tradesmen. Get them in a room. It's why you're good. You've created your morning trade one, because that's the only time tradies can kind of get away with coming out of their business is go to networking, then go to work. And I get how that works.
That's why we chose a Friday morning with Adam Mortimer of Trading Standards, because, Friday morning is like more, it's the end of the week. It's going to be a shorter day anyway. Go out, have a nice breakfast, and it's more wrap up than anything else. So, we're still growing it. It was our biggest one just gone. So that was good. What I'll be doing is I'll be contacting all of them to say come along. And as I say, we're looking at working closer with Trading Standards to again put us a cut above the rest. So that people know they can refer everyone within Synergy with confidence. Because I've belonged to lots of networking groups, and I'm talking about 25 years. that, you know, you refer to them because they're in the room, and because that's what you're told you have to do. And so you do, and then something goes wrong, and when you actually complain, nothing happens. And I would hate that to be the case with Synergy.
Oh, yeah. I've always been, if I'm going to refer someone, I'm putting my name behind it. I will only refer someone who I know will do a good job.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And that's what we want to be as a as a networking group. We want to be that.
Yeah.
So I was part of the BBN family for many years.
Yep.
You know, I know it's a great, you know, everyone's supportive and behind it. I was speaking to Sophie Richards the other day. She's a member with Synergy. But she loved the family feel of BBN. So I know he's gone down to two groups now, hasn't he?
He has, yes. Yeah.
And so is there more people in there, or is there 30?
There's probably about 50 people in each of the rooms.
Right, so, okay. Yeah.
So, but like you say, it's a lot of trades and a lot of sole traders. So yeah. I will probably have a rethink myself, because I get more out of Kent and Victor Chamber, where you've got the larger companies.
Yeah.
I also do Ash Lawrence's ABC. So I know those two used to work together, didn't they?
They did, but, and Ash is brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah.
And again, that's a family. So when I've been to Medway, Chris and Laura run the Medway group now, but...
You deserted us.
I know.
I noticed that.
Yeah, people say, see you tomorrow morning. It's really nice because, you know, and that's, I've been part of those families. And it is, you know, I mean, I was in B&I for 2 years before I even got any work. Mm. I mean, you know, I was running a dating agency. It's not something you can refer easily. Because people have got to trust you before they're going to recommend their sister, you know, to a dating agency. So I totally got it. But what I did get back from it, and what I've had from all networking groups, is that personal support. Have you found that as well, Lindsay? Have you found that you've had...
Yeah, I mean, because I was until, you know, fairly recently working on my own in terms of the delivery and didn't have those colleagues, my networking buddies have become my colleagues, if you like. And, you know, so I've got those people that I, you know, have got a query or a dilemma or something. Not obviously not a HR thing, because that's all confidential. But, you know, I've got people that I can reach out
business
to.
Business issue.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like flow. Yeah. So what problems have you found that networking has solved for you? Tom, have you got any that is solved for you?
When we... first started going to the chamber events, I knew that we were unlikely to get business straight away because of the type of industry we're in. People either don't think they need you or are already in a contract. So there's always a delay. And actually for us, it was month 13. So when we renewed, we got like 5 contracts land in the same month. So it took a year, but they were very nice ones. So I went in more with almost a checklist of people I was trying to find. So I had, at that point, I'd built our original website. I wanted a new website. So I went in looking for a web developer, someone I could sit there, chat to, and knew that I was going to meet up regularly with, so I could have those conversations. And there were a few other kind of services we wanted. So I went more shopping than trying to sell to start with. I found it really useful for that. So since then, a lot of our kind of referral partners, so the people we will send work out to, we've met through networking. So it's been really good for finding either those complementary services or competitors, in quotation marks, that we can send work to, actually, because that's their specialty. That's what they're amazing at, and it's not where we're looking.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? It comes, and the thing is, I think that a lot of people just look at it and I had someone the other day say, well, if we don't walk away with a job from this room today, we won't be back.
It doesn't work.
It takes time to build that trust and those relationships.
And I thought, that's so naive. You know, for a business that's been going a long time, it's so naive, isn't it?
You tend to see that with sort of larger businesses.
Yes.
Because they only look at, it's cost me this amount to go there. I need to at least make that back, otherwise it's not worth me going again. Yeah. They don't see that actually it is those relationships. It takes time to build it all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you think about like the big construction companies, did you say that you go to the focus group?
I've been to one, yeah, but I'm going to be going regularly.
I thought you weren't allowed unless you were in construction. Or do you have to pay a higher membership?
It's slightly more expensive membership, but it's not a lot more. But I provide a service to people working in construction. You know, who is it doing the building? It's people, isn't it?
Yes, so, it is.
As long as you provide the right service, I think you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting what you said about finding people in the room. So in BNI, we used to call those hunters.
Mm.
And the ones that attended regularly and built relationships were farmers. So the farmers sow the seeds, and from the seeds, you know, you get a good crop. The hunters, you know, make a kill and leave the room with, you know, maybe one. And but they come back and they keep killing. So
we don't like the sound of that.
I was about to say, this is a, yeah.
It's a very strange analogy.
I think you need Ross back on the show if you're going to talk down this route.
So, no, it was really interesting, you know, to see the different ways that people do network. And I was speaking with someone the other day who came as a visitor to Synergy, and he said that he goes to some of the bigger events. He likes to go to one where there's 100 people. He will not speak to the people he knows. He say, hi, so I'm working, and he will work the room. Mm. And then you get others that go along and they will stand with the people they know because that's where they feel most comfortable. And the work might come to them.
That defeats the object of networking, doesn't it?
Makes it a lot slower, that, doing it that way, yeah.
But so everyone has a different way of networking, and everyone has different events that work for them.
Yes.
Mm. Like, I've done quite a lot of events. I did BNI previously. And like Tom was saying earlier, he prefers the evening events and things like that. I much prefer not standing in front of a room of people anymore. I would much rather go to a cozier sort of setting and then be very specific in who I'm talking to and build trust that way.
Mm. Yeah. So with the collaborative their networking do you do a pitch there? I can't remember.
You have 15 seconds.
Oh wow.
Because
you will be succinct.
You basically have name, company, very quickly what you do, and an ask to the room, which could be one-to-ones, LinkedIn connections, or you might be looking, like Tom said, you might be looking for a specific person. So that's your point. And then you go into breakout rooms, one-to-ones, and it's normally four or five in a breakout room. So it's that much quieter thing. And there's normally a silly prompt to get people talking as well.
Yeah.
The FSB, they have some online ones, and they have breakout rooms. And I think that formula works quite well because, you know, you get to know each other, and that's why I like the Synergy ones, because you know you're not restricted to 60 seconds. Mm. You get 3 minutes, and you see the same people, but you get to know them more in depth, I think, than you can in a room like the breakfast BBMs and that sort of thing.
And do you find the questions help? Because sometimes I look at the questions and I think, oh, I've asked that one.
They're a good icebreaker if you can't think of anything new to say.
Yes, yeah. So have you used them, Tom?
What, the questions you put out?
Mm.
Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes I look and go, what's going on here? Someone was someone was drinking when they wrote some of these questions. And you're laughing as if to go, yeah, maybe. Yeah, some of them are a bit wacky and off the wall. But yeah, I think they're very helpful people that are new to networking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that whole, no one wants to sit there and just deliver a pitch. Because they're stale, they don't really work. Once you've said who you are and a very succinct what you do, the rest of it, either you're trying to flog something to someone or you're just filling space. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it gives them that, well, I can chat about that and build that relationship, build that confidence as you're going. So I have on the odd one that I've gone, I quite like that one, I'm going to answer that one. And then others I've gone, yeah, I'm not going anywhere near that one.
You're saying, Matt.
Yeah, I've answered a few of them, and some of them I've gone, no, I'll talk about a recent project. Yeah. We're just going to completely ignore that.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I think I'm going to go against sort of the two of you guys. And online networking, I hate it.
Oh, really?
And for a technical person to say that, I know that's quite odd. I can't stand it. Can't stand online networking. I only like face-to-face.
I would say the Creative Collective is the only online networking I do, because you do have, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
The face-to-face is much better. You can, whenever we meet up, we go, oh, you've got legs. Like, it's that weird thing. It's like you don't
be careful
have to
who you say that to.
Yeah,
of course. I have that with my wife whenever she has a lot of online meetings, and people will meet her and say, look at her, and go down, because she's like 5 foot tall,
yeah,
but doesn't look like it on the screen. So yeah, that kind of stands out for her a bit.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, you're really tall. Like, am I? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's because you're boxed in normally bit. In a monitor.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We're actually, we've got Ryan, a meeting with Ryan Grist after the online meeting tomorrow that Synergy are doing. And he's got an idea of how we can do the breakout rooms Synergy style. So six people in a breakout room, and make sure you don't speak to the same person, because I've been on the FSB one.
Drop into the same room.
Yes.
It's been the same. I've had the same, but there's only four people in a room, and it was three breakout rooms, and I was in one. I was with the same person three times.
Oh.
And there was 200. You can go back to the main room, can't you, and ask to be put in another room.
Well, there's two. I felt rude doing that, though, but there was 200 people on the call, and I thought, surely they can organise it that everybody goes into different rooms.
You'd think.
So I was a bit disappointed, so I never actually went back to that one again.
They ought to automate it, haven't they?
They probably had it set to random, yeah. And you just randomly got the same person.
The other thing that we're talking to Ryan about tomorrow is he's developed an app, and that app, what it does is when you go, especially useful if you're going to a chamber event, when you meet someone, you basically get their email off them, and it automatically sends them an email saying, great to meet you, would you like to link to me on LinkedIn, would you like to...
See, I have an issue with those. I would ignore that response.
Would you?
Because yeah, it's blatantly an automated message.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'd ignore it. I have filtering on my emails. I use a bit of software called Fixer, yeah. And it drops out all the automated messages, all the marketing messages into separate folders, and I can just ignore them.
Oh, wow. You don't ignore my marketing messages, do you?
They go into the marketing folder. Which reminds me, I need to get you to change the logo on it, because it's our old logo.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, send me a new one, then.
You've got it, because it's on the emails you send out.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay, so...
But anyway, if I got an automated... You can tell an automated response from a networking event. You go there, and it's very much a... This could be sent to anyone from anyone. There's nothing about what we discussed. There's nothing personal in there, and you're just going to ignore it.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because we're going to be speaking about it tomorrow, so, we bring that up with him, and...
That's just my two cents, anyway.
Yeah, no,
I agree with you.
I completely agree with Tom as well, yeah.
It's worth knowing, isn't it? Right, okay, so we have got 5 minutes left on the show. So if somebody wanted to get hold of you, Lindsay, how would they get hold of you? And please repeat the name of your business.
So through my website, www.hrconsultingkent.co.uk, or I can't remember my telephone number. I know my mobile number, 07717-861-674.
Brilliant. Okay. And if they connect you on LinkedIn, have you got a LinkedIn page?
I've got a LinkedIn profile, yes.
Okay, fantastic. Tom?
So for me, it would either be through our website, which is it-ms.co.uk, our office number, which is 01634-218-362, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Matt?
Mine would be the same on our website.
Well, my details, is, yeah.
Yeah. If you go through Tom, mark it for my attention, he'll forward it on for me. No, if you go to www.mandadigitalsolutions.co.uk, there's an option to contact myself or Amy, and then my mobile is 07-880-316-780, and I'm also on LinkedIn, just not very active.
Thank you so much, all of you, for coming on the show. It's been a brilliant show, really. We've still got another 4 minutes, but it's just been really excellent, I think, all the topics we've covered. And I think a lot of the members now are starting to realise these shout-outs, you know, how valuable they are, which is really great. So you never know who's listening. So the show was actually the most listened to show on Channel Radio 3 weeks ago. I know. So I was thrilled. Apparently there's one of the other show presenters. He's always been on top, and I knocked him off top slot.
So who was on that one? What was it about that one that knocked him off?
It was Sam Spillett and Adrian Kingsley Johnson. So we were talking finance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these topics, you know, what we're talking about today, HR, web, you know, and IT, I think they're the sort of things that people want to listen to. Mm. And I think the finance was as well. The other thing that Sam was talking about is some of her other projects. So, of course, she's
got the side part of the business, hasn't she? Appointee side.
And the charity. So I think all of that side of it was really interesting, because these government forms, she helps people fill them out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're horrendous, aren't they? It's so difficult filling out some of these forms.
And I suppose with a lot of the sole traders having to deal with making tax digital now.
Exactly.
It's going to be searched for a bit more.
Yeah. So it was really good. And, of course, if you want to listen again to yourself, then it will be on our website.
It will be on the dedicated radio page on the site, yeah.
Yeah, so which is really great. And it's on here for 3 months, on channel radio for 3 months. So you've been listening to Linda Cloke. My business is Synergy Networking Events. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, it'll be Jill Russell from the Jill Russell Consultancy. Again, thank you to my guests for coming on the show. And, you know, if you do need anybody in HR, IT, or SEO web design, then please get in touch with them and listen to the show again and you'll get their contact details. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
You're listening to Channel Radio.